Good morning, afternoon, and evening. You are listening to the Revolution Health Radio Show. This show is brought to you by ChrisKresser.com. I'm your podcast host, Steve Wright from SCE Lifestyle. And with me is integrative medical practitioner, healthy skeptic, and New York Times bestselling author, Chris Kresser.
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Pretty good. Trying a new intro. What do you think?
I like it. You nailed it.
Perfect.
So, did you tell us if you got an elk last weekend? I think you were, last we checked in with you, you and Jordan were headed out to bee hunter gatherers
for the weekend. Yes. We were trying the, using bow and arrows, trying to gather some meat. And the elk, while they are massive, are very elusive. And we never got close to them. But luckily, we did get gifted with a doe mule deer that Jordan was able to harvest with his bow. So it was a pretty amazing hunt. It was between 30 degrees and 50 degrees the whole time and downpouring.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, we had to put our work in, but it was cool. It was very, very grateful and amazing journey.
Awesome. So are you like doing primitive skills gatherings and stuff like that too?
I think that'll be next year. This is my first foray into sort of hunting. I've been a fisherman my whole life. And so in November, I'll be headed out elk hunting here in Colorado. And we'll see what happens.
Cool. Keep us updated. That's really great.
Thanks. So when you got up this morning, you probably had breakfast. What did you eat?
I did have breakfast this morning. As you know, I don't always, but I've been having this Brazilian fish stew leftovers for breakfast for the past couple of days. It's an amazing recipe. It came from Simone Miller's book. She's a Zen Belly. She catered my book launch party, which was incredible. And she's one of the bona fide chefs, you know, that is in the paleo movement. There's a lot of paleo cookbooks, I think, that, you know, are just, they're not particularly great from a culinary perspective. They're people who are really passionate about paleo and it, you know, helped them. And then they decided to do a cookbook, but they don't necessarily have a lot of skill or experience in the kitchen. And Simone is definitely different in that regard. So we're really enjoying her cookbook, and it was a fish stew made with rock cod, coconut milk, tomato, potatoes. We added potatoes. It didn't normally have potatoes in it. Lime, lemon, some really nice spices, really, really fresh, great flavor. So that's what I had for breakfast.
Sounds delish. Want to have that for dinner tonight.
Yeah, check it out. So we have really great question. Actually, three questions that we're rolling into one, and we're going to play back one of them, but I'll tell you a little bit about the others. They're all on a similar topic, which is education, and what do people do when they want to pursue a career in functional medicine or ancestral health? And we figured we would answer this question today because I have a couple of announcements that are also relevant to that. So it made sense to roll all those together. So anyways, if you've been listening to the show for a while or following my work, you know probably that my practice has been closed to new patients for at least a couple of years, and really kind of the better part of the last 4 years. There's only been a couple of periods of open enrollment where I was accepting new patients. The last time we did that, we had about 600 people join the wait list in 4 days. So it took me about 2 years to work through all of those people on the wait list, and I'm happy to announce that finally have done that. So very soon, actually, I think by the time you'll be listening to this show, we will have reopened to new patients. You may have seen a blog post about that, or you will see it either today or very shortly. And you know, the caveat is I have no idea how it's going to go. I have no idea how many people are going to sign up. If it's a lot of people, we may need to do a lottery like we did last time where we randomly assigned people a position on the wait list. But this leads to the second announcement, which is that, you know, with that last experience where we added so many people to the wait list in such a short period of time, it became really clear to me that, you know, I need to figure out a way to train people in my approach and generally get more people involved in this kind of functional ancestral approach to medicine, because as one person, there's a limit, of course, to the number of people that I can help on a one-on-one basis. And that's especially true because I only see patients 2 days a week, which leaves me time to do my research and writing and teaching and all of the other activities that I do. So there are a couple of developments on that front that I want to share with you. Number one is that I have hired a clinical associate that I've been training and who's been working closely with me for the past several months. Her name is Dr. Amy Nett. She's a MD, went to Georgetown Medical School, and she did a residency in radiology in Stanford and then pediatric radiology at Stanford as well. Extremely sharp, intelligent person, and with a real thirst for learning. And that's, you know, that's like, to me, one of the most important qualities you can have as a clinician. And she, while she was at Stanford and seeing pediatric radiology patients, these were kids that were coming in with like obesity, diabetes, autoimmune diseases. Became really clear to her that conventional medicine was not the answer. It was not the way to help these kids, and that these were all preventable diseases that Western medicine is not doing a really good job with. So she made the decision to transition into a more functional medicine career approach, and she applied for the associate position that I advertised for a while back. And out of the 70 applications that we reviewed, she was the one that I chose. So she's been with me since June. She's been shadowing me in the clinic for pretty much every appointment that I do. She's with me. She's been studying all of my protocols. We've been having regular meetings, and she's already has a pretty high level of understanding of the principles of functional medicine, and she's very familiar with my protocols. She's been a huge help in the clinic so far, communicating with my patients. She's doing all of the initial appointments with patients prior to the case review that I do, and then she's already starting to do some follow-up appointments, and probably within the next 3 to 4 months, she'll start seeing her own new patients as well. So super excited to have her on board. And we've had a lot of great feedback from my patients so far. And so if you are a patient in my practice right now, and just know that Amy's on board and she's available for follow-up appointments. And I still directly supervise her, and you know, we have regular communication. So if there's anything that's not clear to her, and she talks to me about it. And so we're working as a team. So that's really exciting. And in the next couple of years, I plan to hire more people. I will probably have a nurse practitioner on staff or a physician's assistant to help with communication in between appointments, and registered dietitians in addition to that. So we're really expanding the clinic so we can serve more people. And that's exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. And then the second announcement, which is kind of directly related to that, is that I have joined forces with a functional MD who is also a friend of mine named Dr. Sanja Schweig. And you met Sanja on the podcast maybe a few months ago. We had him on to talk about chronic infections. So you may remember him from that. He recently relocated to Berkeley from the Santa Rosa area where he was practicing functional medicine. And he is an amazing clinician. He's actually my doctor. I don't go to the doctor very often, but when I do, I talk to Sanja. So I trust him implicitly, have a lot of respect for him as a clinician and as a person. He's got 15 or 20 years of experience in the alternative functional integrative medicine worlds. He's trained with a lot of very well-known practitioners. He is really sharp. And what I appreciate about him the most is that he is not dogmatic and he doesn't have a shtick. So what I mean by that, and I'm sure a lot of people out there have experienced this, is really often in the medical world where you're talking about conventional medicine or functional medicine, you'll see clinicians that have a certain perspective. You know, maybe it's fungal candida or fungal overgrowth, or maybe it's Lyme, or maybe it's mold illness, or maybe it's leaky gut or whatever. And then every patient that walks through the door, they see them through that lens. And, it's something that you really have to guard against as a clinician, because it can have a framework like that can be really helpful and easy way to organize your thinking with patients. But it's a trap, because everybody who comes through the door is different. And the pathology and etiology of disease is extremely complex, and everyone, it manifests differently in every person. And we have to be really careful not to apply kind of like a framework or template-based approach, given our sort of favorite diagnoses. And Sanjay is really amazing that way. You know, he's experienced with chronic infections. That's one of his specialties, but he doesn't shoehorn everybody into that diagnosis. He's very open-minded. He's always learning and seeking to expand his knowledge. And we just had such a similar perspective on patient care and functional medicine and ideas and visions for the future and how we can revolutionize healthcare that we decided to merge our practices together. So we've done that, and we've created a whole new entity called the California Center for Functional Medicine.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, cool. So this is our new clinical entity, and you know, it's myself, Sanjay, and Dr. Amy right now. And very shortly, we're hiring a physician's assistant or nurse practitioner. And the vision is in a few years' time to have, you know, Sanjay and I in the co-director positions of the center, and we'll have several clinicians working with us. Doctors, naturopaths, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, and registered dietitians, all of whom share a functional medicine approach, and also the combination of the functional and ancestral medicine ideals. So lots of stuff going on the clinic and education side. So I just wanted to share that before we get into the questions.
Yeah, that's amazing, Chris. So is this new joint venture, or the new thing, is it going to have a website? Is it a physical product? Like, are people going to come visit you guys? Or
yeah, it's kind of a hybrid model where, you know, my practice, I do have a physical office where I see patients, but I also consult with people via Skype and the phone around the country. That will continue. So I'm going to keep my office where it is. Sanjay has an office in Berkeley that he'll keep where it is. Because he's a physician, and because of licensing board requirements, he has to do his first appointment in person, whereas I don't, I'm not limited in that way. But he can do phone consulting after that first in-person appointment. And Amy will work out of my office. She may also have an office in the South Bay, which is where she lives. And eventually we may have, you know, a dedicated physical space for the California Center for Functional Medicine. But at the moment, we like the distributed model. There's a lot of flexibility. It keeps our overhead lower, which, you know, means we don't, our fees can be a little bit lower, and it's working. So we'll see. Not sure yet.
Awesome. Well, this is all very exciting, and I'm sure it's going to help a lot of people. So congrats.
Thank you. Okay, so now we're going to read or play back one of these three questions that were all related. And as you'll see, this is related to the topic that we're talking about now. So this is from Justine. Let's give it a listen.
I really want to study. I trained, supposedly qualified as a nutritionist about 10 or 15 years ago, but didn't really have much faith in what I'd learned. And I've learned a lot more over the years, but you know, I think the science is constantly changing, and I just doesn't seem to be a course out there that I feel I could really kind of qualify me. And I'd probably do better like following you and following other people. But do you have any plans to put all the information you have into a sort of learning type format where people can sort of learn, and apart from obviously just reading all your useful information? And if not, I don't know if I've actually written to you about this, but anyway, if not, who would you recommend, or where would you recommend to study? Okay, thanks so much.
Okay, so I get a version of this question, or almost this identical question, probably 5 to 6 times a week in email and you know, or comment on Facebook or blog or whatever. We also got questions from Peter from Sweden, who was a similar question, although, you know, in his case, he doesn't have the certification in nutrition that Justine had. He's wondering where he should start. He wants to study with Institute for Functional Medicine, which is a functional medicine training organization, but they require some license. They only admit licensed practitioners, so he's wondering what kind of license he should get. You know, naturopath, should he go into medicine, conventional medicine? And then Kyle also sent a similar question. He's 20 years old. He's a college student, and he is majoring in biology, and he said he wants to do something along the same lines that I'm doing, and wasn't sure where to go, you know, after his undergrad work, and, you know, what to, osteopathic medicine was one thing he was thinking about. So because so many people ask this question, I want to talk a little bit about it. And I also want to make another announcement that is relevant to this whole discussion. So
blowing our minds, four announcements.
I saved them all up. So people ask me this a lot, even in person when I travel as well. And the answer to the question of, you know, how do you pursue a career in this field really depends on what you want. So first thing you kind of need to figure out, I think, it's the way I approached it, is how do you want to help people? How do you want to spend your time? Do you imagine that you mostly want to talk about nutrition and lifestyle? And would that be satisfying for you? Or do you want to really dive into the more intensive, complex, chronic disease treatment, and where you're working with patients for whom diet and lifestyle changes may not have been enough, and you want to do lab testing, you want to get into supplements and botanicals and maybe even medications. That's a different, obviously a different choice. Do you imagine yourself working within the existing conventional medical structure? Is that important to you? Do you want to be able to get a job at a hospital or within an existing medical clinic? Or do you imagine yourself working outside of that structure in a private practice type of situation? And that's another important question. A third question would be, how important is it to have the credibility that comes almost kind of without question with certain Western or conventional medicine degrees, like a medical doctor? There's a lot of history, cultural recognition around that degree that you, when you have an MD after your name, you have an instant credibility, almost whether you deserve it or not. And that's not a dig against doctors. That's just, it's an interesting thing that when you have those letters after your name, you're assumed to be an expert, even on topics that you don't necessarily have expertise in, like nutrition, for example. Most doctors will tell you their education in nutrition is just hideously minimal in medical school. And yet doctors are often consulted as if they are experts on nutrition. But there's a certain credibility and authority that's instantly conferred when you have a degree like that. And there are other ways to build credibility and authority outside of that, but they can be a little more difficult, a little more circuitous. So that's also something important to know. And there's no right answer to any of these questions. These are all very personal questions. They depend on your own proclivities and personality and the way that you operate in the world. But they're the key questions you need to be asking in terms of figuring out what direction you want to go, particularly if you're a college student and you're deciding, you know, what you want to do with the rest of your life. So I would say if you just want to work in nutrition and lifestyle, then becoming a registered dietitian or a nutritionist of some sort is probably sufficient. And that's as far as you really need to go. If you want to get more into the functional medicine side and help people on that level where you're doing lab testing and work prescribing supplements, medication, et cetera, then getting some kind of license, I think, is important. And so that could be, you can be a naturopathic doctor, you could be a medical doctor, you could be an osteopathic doctor, you could be, in some states, an acupuncturist, a specialist in Chinese medicine like me. I say some states because the regulation of these degrees and professions is different in different states. In California, acupuncturists are considered to be primary care providers in the workers' comp system. We have, it's a four-year master's program, which includes 2 years of allopathic medicine. We learn pathophysiology, pharmacology, anatomy, physiology, internal disease, internal medicine. Like, we study a lot of the same things that doctors study so that we can make diagnoses within the workers' comp system. And we're allowed to order labs, and that's all part of our scope of practice. But in other states, that's not true for acupuncturists. So you would need to really understand what the regulations are in your state. But then the question, I think the question everyone's asking here is, you know, once you have your degree, whether it's as a registered dietitian or a doctor or a naturopath or whatever, how do you get the training that you need in functional medicine and ancestral medicine that's really going to make you successful in the clinic and really going to allow you to approach things from the perspective that you want to? Because I don't care what program you do, whether it's an MD, a naturopathic doctor, acupuncture, osteopath, registered dietitian. The bad news, perhaps, is that that's just the starting place. You know, that gives you the basic background that you need to be successful and to go forward and do what you want to do. But I'm sure everybody out there who's gone through those programs will tell you, you don't come out of there, you know, as a functional medicine expert and paleo ancestral nutrition and health expert. No, there's no formal program that is teaching those things. So you have to acquire that knowledge elsewhere. And for me, I started doing that when I was still in school. I started taking continuing education workshops and seminars and studying with other teachers in the world of integrative and functional medicine before I even finished school, because that was what I was interested in and that's what I knew that I wanted to do. So here we come. Here we come to the announcement, or maybe even before that, let's talk a little bit about the current functional medicine training options. There aren't that many. So there's the Institute for Functional Medicine training program, which is probably the best known. There's some excellent courses there, great instructors. Mark Hyman is on the board and founded that, put that together. A lot of respect for him and his work. And, you know, that's kind of considered to be the main functional medicine training organization. Then you have Dan Kalish's program. Dan is a friend, colleague. I have a lot of respect for him and his work. He focuses mostly on gut and adrenals and male and female hormones. He doesn't get into blood work, functional blood chemistry, blood sugar, thyroid, cholesterol, lipids, any of that sort of stuff. He's really focused on the gut hormones and adrenals, which is, you know, those are super important. And you're going to help a lot of people when you learn to deal with those problems. There's Reed Davis Functional Diagnostic Nutrition, which is more of a nutrition kind of approach with some functional medicine mixed in there. There's one more that unfortunately I'm not remembering.
I think it's Functional Medicine University.
That's right. Yeah. So and even FM Town maybe is the view.
I haven't heard of that one, but I know there's some new ones that are cropping up.
Right. There are a few that are cropping, and there's probably going to be more. All of these programs, I think, have strengths. All of them may have some weaknesses. Certainly, there's a lot of good in all of them. I, for quite a long time, have been considering doing my own training program. I've had a lot of requests from people to start teaching my particular approach to functional medicine. And what I've seen, at least, you know, from seeing all of the different training programs that are out there, I think there are a couple of needs that aren't being met. So one, maybe the most important for people that are listening to this, is a training program that encompasses functional medicine from an ancestral health perspective. There's no program that's doing that right now.
So what does that mean, Chris? Because I don't know if that's really clear.
Okay, so if you go to Institute for Functional Medicine, a lot of the dietary recommendations that will be made will be more of like a plant-based diet type of perspective, like a more typical low-fat, you know, lots of juicing and kale, talk about kale and fruits and vegetables. I have nothing against kale, but there's almost like this religious devotion to kale within those circles.
I was at the supermarket yesterday. I saw three books that all they were about was kale. Three different books are on the shelf.
Yeah, it's just like this kale obsession. I mean, kale is fantastic. I eat it a lot, but it's not. I mean, if you want to get obsessed with a food, it should be liver in terms of nutrient density. We've already talked about that. But you're not going to see books with like a big slab of liver on the cover. It's just not. It's not the same. So, but anyways, you know, the dietary recommendations will be different, right? And then they're not talking about things like artificial light and its effect on sleep patterns from they're not talking necessarily about the importance of reducing sitting time and integrating movement throughout the day. They're not talking about pleasure and how that's been a part of our ancestral heritage and how important it is to integrate this. this lens that we look through, you know, in my work, anyone who's been following me for a while, this is the context that we are talking about things in. It's the evolutionary framework. It's the understanding that as human beings, we're hardwired for a certain diet and lifestyle. And when we shift away from that in this modern lifestyle, that's when we suffer. And that fundamental evolutionary perspective informs everything. It informs the way that we talk about diet, the way we talk about exercise, the way we talk about lifestyle. It really informs my approach to functional medicine, to research. For example, if there's a conflict in the modern clinical research, we can look through the evolutionary lens to see if we can resolve the conflict that way, and we often can. So it's a huge part of my approach and my way of working with patients and my way of understanding functional medicine and just health and disease in general. And that's lacking from all functional medicine programs right now. So I really wanted to create a program that would merge those two things together, where we're studying functional medicine, but we're studying it within this framework context of evolutionary medicine. So that's the one thing. Another thing is that from what I've seen from a lot of the programs, they're either almost too simplified and focused just on practical application without enough real understanding of what's going on, or they're too didactic, which means that there's just like a fire hose of information, but there's very little information on how to implement that in your practice when you get back to the clinic on Monday morning. And there's very little on how to set up systems. Like, running functional medicine practice is really different than running a conventional practice. There are certain best practices, ways to set up systems that really will help you succeed. That kind of falls into practice management. And then there are resources that you can develop, handouts, cheat sheets, all of these slide presentations, all of these things that can help you build your practice and retain your patients and provide extra value to your clients and patients. And that sort of thing is not being offered. So I want to create a training that is, you know, cutting edge functional medicine from an evolutionary perspective that also supports people from a practice management and practice building perspective. And so that's what I'm going to do.
I'd like to reclaim a word you said earlier, Chris. It sounds like what you'll be teaching, and I'm glad you're going to be teaching it, is a framework to be able to execute functional medicine. And so earlier we said framework, but I think you were mostly meant like lens or bent on sort of seeing everything as everyone has candida or everyone has, you know, thyroid issues, something like that. But I think that's really needed. And there is a big need out there to integrate natural ways of doing functional medicine through supplements and things that are available on the market, as well as all of the knowledge that's available through the conventional medical system. So,
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I mean, the reason I haven't done this sooner, a lot of people have, you know, emailed me saying, "What's up? When are you going to do this?" And I really took months to think about this, and like so many different iterations, and, you know, journaling and sketching things out and whiteboards, trying to figure out what's the best way to approach this. What's the best way to put all this together and deliver it in a learning environment. And I finally figured it out and I'm really excited about the structure we've developed. I'll tell you just a little bit about it. So I've just done a blog post where I mentioned this, and you'll see there's a functional medicine systems model that I developed, a series of concentric circles. And it's the way that I understand how disease develops. The core of that circle is environment. And another word for it actually that's fairly new is called the exposome. And this is what scientists are using now to refer to the sum total of environmental influences. That's everything that's non-genetic. So it could range from diet during our lifetime, but not only that, it's our mother's diet during her lifetime and our father's diet prior to conception, which we now know influences our health. Mother's diet during pregnancy. It's early life influences, like whether we were born vaginally or via C-section, whether we were breastfed or fed formula, stress levels of our caregivers and our primary caregivers, and then the status of our gut flora, our exposure to antibiotics and other medications early on in life that would have influenced the development of our gut flora, the you know, our exercise, physical activity, stress levels, exposure to environmental toxins like mercury amalgams, BPA, volatile organic compounds, pesticides, et cetera. I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing to think of that, but that's all encompassed within this term called the exposome, environmental influences. Then the next ring out from that is genetics and epigenetics. So the environmental influences that we're subjected to or exposed to interact with our unique genome and epigenome to then express or manifest in certain underlying patterns or mechanisms of disease. So these could be blood sugar dysregulation, autoimmunity, problems with methylation, you know, digestive issues, leaky gut, et cetera. And then these mechanisms in turn express as certain diseases. So like diabetes, heart disease, irritable bowel syndrome, all of the things that Western medicine is kind of focused on. And then of course, these diseases and mechanisms then ultimately express themselves as symptoms that we experience as people, patients, whatever. So when you understand disease and health from that perspective, then that can serve as the framework for how you go about treating patients in the clinic and how I would go about teaching you how to do that in a training program. So the first module that we're hopefully going to launch in the spring, maybe late spring of next year, is going to be all about the exposome or environment. So how to modify all of the modifiable environmental factors to create the healthiest starting place, core fundamental foundation for health. And so that will be looking at how to change diet, lifestyle, and some of these other influences for a whole variety of health conditions and needs. So for someone who comes to see you and they have Hashimoto's and they, you know, they have a number of symptoms, but they're also training for, you know, some competition. How do you address that person? How do you address someone who wants to lose weight, but who's tried a low carb diet and it's not working for them? How do you address somebody that has, you know, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, their doctor wants to put them on medication? What are the sorts of things, interventions that you can do for that person to normalize their function without resorting to medication? So, you know, this will be heavily focused on ancestral, you know, nutrient-dense diets. You can call it paleo, paleo-based. But as anyone listening to this knows, I'm, you know, not dogmatic about paleo, and it's more of a starting place and a template for me than anything else. But this really, when it comes down to it, this is at least 80% of what you should be doing in any clinical encounter, no matter if you're a doctor, a nutritionist, osteopath, naturopath, whatever. If you address these core environmental factors in your patients or clients, you're going to heal 80% of people. You're going to deal with 80%, you know, even in a complex patient, you're going to deal with 80% of the difficulty that they're experiencing. It's this whole 80-20 rule that I'm sure you've heard of. And then the next step out from that, which will be the second module of the training, will be the core functional medicine approach. And that's where we'll deal with the fundamental mechanisms that, again, if you address them, you're going to deal with 80% of the next round of problems. So that will be blood sugar, nutrient deficiencies, gut, and adrenals. And those are really the core foundational things you need to be able to address as a functional medicine practitioner. And then from there, we go out to some of the more advanced mechanisms that you'll encounter and need to deal with, like methylation, environmental toxins and metal toxicity, things like mold illness, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, more advanced functional blood chemistry, lipids and heart disease, male and female hormones. But these are all things that are peripheral to the core environmental factors and the core mechanisms like gut and adrenal. So they come later. And, you know, eventually further down the line, I'll have classes or shorter focused modules that are on specific disease conditions, and, you know, like Parkinson's and dementia, and how you approach those conditions from the functional evolutionary perspective, but we can't do that, and we can't do those classes until you have that core foundation moving out from the center. So that's the big announcement around education and training. That first module, the environmental exposome module, I think will be open both to licensed and non-licensed practitioners, because we're just going to be talking about diet and lifestyle, maybe some supplements. The core functional medicine training will be probably only open to licensed practitioners, because it involves a lot of lab testing that is only available to licensed clinicians. And this training will be offered virtually in many cases. So people from overseas should be able to do it all around the country. And there will also, I think, be some live training or in-person training opportunities via workshops and seminars that are either optional or standalone. So if, you know, for example, I may offer the whole environmental piece virtually, and I also may offer it as an in-person workshop. So there's going to be opportunities for both. And I think that's most of what I can tell you right now. We'll be sharing more details as the time progresses, but I'm really excited about that. And I hope you are too.
Yeah, I think you started mentioning this style of training probably at least 2 years ago. And so this is amazing to still be talking with you, Chris, and still bringing the podcast to people. And now we're starting to see the birth of this brainchild of yours. So very exciting news.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, and I've had a lot of help and people who've been instrumental in helping to shape this. So I think it's going to be great. So definitely let us know what you think, or if you have any questions in the comments section on this blog post of this podcast. And we'll be back next week with another question.
Yeah, so keep sending us your questions, everyone. And in between episodes, please go over to facebook.com/ChrisKresser LAC and twitter.com/ChrisKresser. If you follow Chris on these social media outlets, you're going to get his updates on the studies he's reviewing. You might be the first to know about a new blog post or this practitioner training, or even the opening of the clinic, because depending on where you're consuming information, you might get it before your email. So make sure you sign up there, and thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone.